A man wakes in an ambulance, 45 minutes of memory erased, to learn there's a mass in his brain. Two surgeries later, one lasting 9 hours, he emerges with part of his frontal lobe removed, angry at the world, yet somehow this catastrophe becomes the catalyst for transformation. This isn't a story about tragedy. It's about recognizing that the greatest threat to our happiness isn't what happens to us, but the mental poison we consume daily, the news we scroll, the complaints we rehearse, the catastrophic narratives our minds spin from minor inconveniences. We're living through what feels like an endless crisis: political warfare, economic anxiety, climate fears, social media outrage. Our ancestors faced lions, we face notifications. Yet our brains respond identically, keeping us in perpetual fight or flight mode. Picture two prehistoric humans. One constantly scans for danger, hoards resources, assumes the worst. The other explores freely, takes risks, sees opportunity everywhere. Which ancestor's genes do you carry? The pessimists, obviously. The optimist got eaten. Your brain evolved with a singular obsession: survival. Every experience gets filtered through three questions. Will this kill me? Will this help me dominate my social group? Can I reproduce? This negativity bias manifests in four distinct ways. Negative emotions hit harder than positive ones. A criticism stings more than a compliment soothes. Anxiety intensifies as threatening events approach, creating spiraling dread. Losses hurt more than equivalent gains feel good. Losing $100 feels worse than finding $100 feels good. And we process negative information more thoroughly, remembering insults in vivid detail while positive moments blur. Our mental architecture served our ancestors brilliantly. Constant vigilance kept them alive. But we're running ancient software in a radically different world, one of accelerating, disruptive change. Instead of occasional, acute dangers, we face chronic, low-grade stressors: inflation, political division, workplace competition, technological overload. These trigger the same biological alarms as physical threats, but never resolve, leaving us perpetually stressed. Yet here's the paradox. Negative emotions aren't the enemy. Fear warns us of danger. Anger signals injustice. Sadness connects us to loss. The problem isn't feeling negative emotions, but drowning in unnecessary negativity that serves no protective purpose. Notice how quickly your mind escalates. A flight delay becomes ruined sleep and destroyed productivity. A minor work mistake transforms into evidence you're incompetent. This isn't reality. It's your inner voice, that relentless narrator interpreting everything in the worst possible light. That voice comes in four flavors. The worrier imagines worst-case scenarios. The critic insists you're inadequate. The victim declares helplessness. And the perfectionist demands impossible standards. Cognitive behavioral therapy reveals a crucial distinction. Examine whether your thoughts are specific or general, temporary or permanent. I'm having trouble with this client is specific and manageable. I suck at sales is general and devastating. This is a rough quarter is temporary. I'll never succeed is permanent and paralyzing. The difference isn't just semantic. It's the difference between a solvable problem and a life sentence. If you can talk yourself into misery, you can talk yourself out of it. Start documenting your inner voice's predictions. Notice how rarely catastrophes actually materialize. Your mind is one of the worst futurists, consistently wrong, yet somehow still trusted. Counter this negativity with deliberate positivity. Document your accomplishments, write about your core values, practice affirmations like "I am capable" and "I am resilient." This isn't denial, it's balance, correcting the brain's built-in tilt toward the negative. When someone cuts you off in traffic, what story do you tell yourself? Probably that they're a selfish jerk. But what if they're racing to the hospital? You're lying to yourself either way. You have no idea what's true. So why not choose the lie that leaves you peaceful rather than enraged? Albert Ellis's ABC model reveals how emotions work. A is the activating event, B is your belief about it, and C is the consequence. The insight? B causes C, not A. Your interpretation creates your emotion, not the event itself. A difficult client berating everyone was caring for a husband with cancer. A flooded basement seemed catastrophic until news arrived that a family had died in a plane crash. These experiences teach that invisible battles surround us constantly, and our initial interpretations are usually wrong. Radical acceptance, a Buddhist concept brought to Western psychology, means letting go of control and accepting reality without judgment. You don't have to agree with difficult people or approve of bad situations. You simply acknowledge what is and respond more effectively. Fighting reality adds suffering to pain. Complaining reinforces negative mindsets, increases stress, damages relationships, and prevents problem solving. When you complain, you're practicing helplessness rather than agency. The Stoics embraced discomfort as proof they didn't need comfort to be happy. Epictetus wrote, "There is only one way to happiness, and that is to cease worrying about things which are beyond the power of our will. To stop complaining, pause before speaking. Replace offense with empathy. Maybe the kitchen is struggling. Maybe the slow driver is lost. Problems come in two types: my problem, you should address, and someone else's problem, you should release. Complaining keeps you stuck. Problem solving sets you free. The average person checks their phone 76 times daily, each glance pulling attention toward what's missing. Hedonic adaptation means that a new car eventually becomes just transportation. The joy fades, leaving you chasing the next thing. Practicing gratitude means recognizing both the goodness in your life and its sources. Your blessings are countless: health, relationships, freedom, safety, opportunities many lack. Our negativity bias constantly scans for what's wrong, so we must deliberately inventory what's right. Start a gratitude journal, moving from general to specific. Not just, "I'm grateful for my family," but, "I'm grateful my daughter showed courage today by standing up for her friend." Martin Seligman's Three Blessings exercise, writing three good things from your day and why they happened, reliably reduces depression and increases life satisfaction for up to 6 months, performing comparably to medication and psychotherapy for severe depression. True gratitude includes being thankful for everything, even negative events. One man whose father left when he was 7 keeps a journal of 10 negative events and why he's grateful for each. "If my father hadn't left, my mother wouldn't have shown me what strength looks like." This isn't denial, it's extracting meaning from pain. After 2 brain surgeries, a man faced a choice: permanent disability or temporary support. His neurologist said, "You are disabled if you believe you are." He chose temporary support, refused to see himself as limited, and graduated summa cum laude before attending law school and Harvard Business School. Post-traumatic growth includes greater life appreciation, warmer relationships, increased personal strength, recognition of new possibilities, and spiritual development. The key difference isn't the trauma itself, but how you process it. Sigmund Freud believed traumas permanently cause unhappiness. Alfred Adler disagreed. Your interpretation, not the event, determines whether you remain stuck or grow. Nassim Taleb introduced anti-fragility, not just surviving adversity, but gaining from it. Like the hydra growing 2 heads when 1 is cut, you can transform loss into wisdom. Write down what you've learned from trauma and recognize how you've become stronger. The negativity fast isn't about eliminating all negativity. It's about removing sources that poison your mindset without serving any purpose. For 90 days, identify and fast from your specific triggers: political media, news consumption, negative people, financial obsession, whatever drains you. Replace eliminated negativity with a pressure hose of positivity: books, podcasts, uplifting conversations. Track your fast with a journal. Document your thoughts when negativity strikes. You will stumble. Simply continue. Perfection was never the goal. After your fast ends, you may realize you can permanently abandon many negativity sources. In a world designed for outrage, choosing peace is revolutionary. The fastest way to change your life isn't changing your circumstances. It's changing your mind. Fast from what poisons you, feast on what nourishes you.